It's so good to see everyone here. God is good. God is great. Boy, I'm just standing up here shaking. Thank you for coming to our house. How many of you have never been here before? Raise your hands. I see. Thank you for coming. The rest of you old timers. I'm glad that you care about the word of the Lord. I'd like to share with you, if you don't have one of these brochures, you can get one up here after the service is over. It's about the gathering that we're going to have November 3rd through 5th, Gathering of Eagles. We come together and we pray for the nation. We usually have about three a year. This year I think we're going to sign off the end of the year with having had four, the fourth being here. We pray for the things that are on the Lord's heart. And that's it. There are 10,000 issues we could pray over, right? But the things we pray about are the things that he is saying is interrupting the flow of relationship between him and America and interrupting the flow of blessing. So these things that pertain to his heart, that concern his heart at this present moment, is what we bring before him. And he honors us, he rewards us by giving us tremendous answers to prayer to let us know that we're on course and that we're moving deeper into the stream of his will. When we started the gatherings, it was kind of a promise. It came out of a three-hour visitation and kind of a promise, you might say, of the Lord telling me that if we did the gatherings, if we did this work of intercession, that he would allow America to have a great revival before war. If we did not do the work of the gatherings, America would see war with no revival. Now, at the time that he told me that, which was, the year 2000, I didn't know why. I didn't understand that all these things we've been praying about, for these last many years are the things that were standing between America and the blessing of revival from the Lord. So as we have touched these things, things like, our treatment of the Native Americans, the slavery issue of the African Americans, the abortion issue, dismantling of the nations. I mean, it goes on and on. The list is a little too long. But in his goodness, when he says, now I want to deal with this issue, and we bring it before him, he forgives. Isn't that amazing? When you think of the sins of a nation that has been around now for 400 years, he's so willing to forgive. And I'm glad he doesn't make us wade through 400 years for 400 years. Or we'd be establishing, the possibilities of revival for our great-great-great-grandchildren. So, but it has been a long journey. But as you know, revival is starting to break out here and there across the nation. And that is our guidepost to knowing that God is blessing what we're doing. He's pleased, and he's responding. Praise God. This is where you say, oh, yes, great, this is wonderful. I'll teach you before the night is over. So, anyway, that's the Gathering of the Eagles, November 3rd through 5th. Please come. Pick up a brochure so you can understand and then make arrangements and come. New Orleans needs your intercession. The nation needs your intercession. How many of you want to see revival in New Orleans?
Yes.
Come. Come. Come and pray for your city. Amen. I've called you together for a very important message. I think that it's probably the most, I know it's the most important message that God has ever given me since my call to the ministry. Now, of course, it's very important to tell the world that Jesus came, he died on the cross for man's sins, he rose again. That's obviously a very important message. But there's also a message to the nations. God deals not only with people individually, but he deals with nations. And I think tonight we're going to kind of make a correction in doctrine that has been seeping into the church, and also give you words of great hope, but they're only hope if you respond. You know, the doctor says this is how we take care of cancer, and if you walk away and say, well, I think that's great, you've got a cure for cancer, I just think that's wonderful, and yes, I've got cancer, and I'll think about it. And you never go back. What value is it? So God has got a message, and it's a great message, and it's a wonderful message, but we must respond. So tonight, as I present the Lord's heart, I want you to know I'm presenting it to you with a desire to see a response. Amen. America is about to enter into the worst battle she has ever known, with a lion that is very fierce. Now, this lion would be fierce enough if it was only human. We have a growing movement, one that has been preparing itself to devour the nations since 1776. And one of the chief nations that it has been going after is America. The head of that movement is the Rothschild family. I can remember years ago the Lord showing me a vision. And in this vision, I saw a Rothschild in the form of an animal that was half lion and half eagle. And I saw a man climb on the back of a lion. And with the eagle wings, he began to rise up and soar high into the sky. And the Lord said, if you please him, he will carry you as high as you can go. But if you displease him, like a lion, he will tear you to shreds. And he was speaking to me about Rothschild. Now, this is the Pindar. Say Pindar. This is the Pindar of the movement, the Rothschild family. So what the Lord showed me is not only pertaining to a man and the relationship a man might have with the Rothschild family, but also pertaining to nations and the relationship that nations would have with the New World Order or the Illuminati. How many of you have heard that term, New World Order, and you know what it means? Raise your hand. And the term Illuminati, and you know what it means. So as I use those terms back and forth, I'm going to know you understand what I'm talking about, and you're going to be able to follow with me. So we have in operation this sort of club, this great organization that spans throughout the world that was started back in 1776 by Weishaupt and by the Rothschild family. The purpose of it is to create a one world government, which they head. And joining the league is the Catholic Church, intending, fully intending, to bring about a one-world religion. So we know that the Bible talks about all this, don't we? It's amazing to think that the Bible could be talking about something written 2,000 years ago that we are living today. Isn't that amazing? This that we thought might not come for years and years. Maybe our grandchildren or our great-grandchildren might see it. But here we are today, and we're right in the middle of it. So America is about to come to the clash of a nation against a lion. If God does not have his way, the lion will. And God is not going to get his way with the church in its present state. So we're not talking about something futuristic. It is present. And tonight I want to try to help you understand just how present it is. We're going to show you someone you all remember.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of election, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program. For from that scrutiny comes understanding. And from that understanding comes support or opposition. And both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence in the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but but to inform, to arouse, to deflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even end public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
President Kennedy may have been the last true president that America has had. He truly did give his life to try to free us from the New World Order.
Did the world wars, revolutions, and big events of human history evolve naturally, or were they calculated and pre-planned? If they were pre-planned, who planned them, and what are they planning for the future of humanity? The answer to this puzzling question can be found within the boundaries of three of the world's most powerful cities. Those three cities belong to no nation and pay no taxes. They are Washington's District of Columbia, which is not part of the city of Washington or of the United States, the inner city of London, which is not part of London or England, and Vatican City, which is not part of Rome or Italy. These cities, called city-states, have their own independent flag, their own separate laws, and their own separate identity.
Vatican City is in fact a state, the smallest principality in the world. It lies on the banks of the Tiber, completely surrounded by the city of Rome. Its status as a separate state emerged from the Lateran agreements of February 1929. It has its own newspaper, postal service, radio and television station, its own flag, and a population of about 1,000.
The Vatican also has its own army of Swiss guards, and it even has its own prison. The Vatican rules over approximately 2 billion of the world's 6.1 billion people. The colossal wealth of the Vatican includes enormous investments with the Rothschilds in Britain, France, and the USA, and with giant oil and weapons corporations like Shell and General Electric. The Vatican's solid gold bullion worth billions is stored with the Rothschild-controlled Bank of England and the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank. The Catholic Church is the biggest financial power, wealth accumulator, and property owner in existence, possessing more material wealth than any bank, corporation, giant trust, or government anywhere on the globe. The Pope, who is the visible ruler of this colossal global wealth, is one of the richest men on earth. While two-thirds of the world earns less than $2 a day, and one-fifth of the world is underfed or starving to death, the Vatican hoards the world's wealth, profits from it on the stock market, and at the same time preaches about giving. How did the Pope and Vatican accumulate all that wealth over the millennium? One method was to put a price tag on sin. Many bishops and popes actively marketed guilt, sin, and fear for profit by selling indulgences. Worshippers were encouraged to prepay for sins they hadn't yet committed and get pardoned ahead of time. Those who didn't pay up risked eternal damnation in Satan's oven. Pope Leo X rebuilt St. Peter's Basilica, selling tickets out of hell and tickets to heaven. During the Dark Ages, the Catholic Church not only hoarded the wealth they collected from the poor, but hoarded knowledge. They kept the masses ignorant and in the dark by denying them a basic education. Like Vatican City, London's inner city is also a privately owned corporation or city-state, located right smack in the heart of Greater London. It became a sovereign state in 1694 when King William III of Orange privatized and turned the Bank of England over to the bankers. By 1812, Nathan Rothschild crashed the English stock market and scammed control of the Bank of England. Today, the city-state of London is the world's financial power center and the wealthiest square mile on the face of the earth. It houses the Rothschild-controlled Bank of England, Lloyd's of London, the London Stock Exchange, all British banks, the branch offices of 385 foreign banks, and 70 U.S. banks. It has its own courts, its own laws, its own flag, and its own police force. It's not part of Greater London or England or the British Commonwealth, and pays no taxes. The city-state of London houses Fleet Street's newspaper and publishing monopolies. It is also the headquarters for worldwide English Freemasonry and headquarters for the worldwide money cartel known as the Crown. Contrary to popular belief, the Crown is not the royal family or the British monarch. The Crown is the private corporate city-state of London. It has a council of 12 members who rule the corporation under a mayor called the Lord Mayor. The Lord Mayor and his 12-member council serve as proxies or representatives who sit in for 13 of the world's wealthiest, most powerful banking families. This ring of 13 ruling families includes the Rothschild family, the Warburg family, the Oppenheimer family, and the Schiff family. These families and their descendants run the Crown Corporation of London. The Crown Corporation holds the title to worldwide Crown lands in Crown colonies like Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. The British Parliament and the British Prime Minister serve as a public front for the hidden power of these ruling Crown families. Like the city-state of London and the Vatican, a third city-state was officially created in 1982. That city-state is called the District of Columbia and is located on 10 square miles of land in the heart of Washington. The District of Columbia flies its own flag and has its own independent constitution. Although geographically separate, the city-states of London, the Vatican, and the District of Columbia are one interlocking empire called Empire of the City. The flag of Washington's District of Columbia has three red stars, one for each city-state in the three-city empire. This corporate empire of three city-states controls the world economically through London's inner city, militarily through the District of Columbia, and spiritually through the Vatican. The constitution for the District of Columbia operates under a tyrannical Roman law known as Lex Fori, which bears no resemblance to the U.S. Constitution. When Congress passed the Act of 1871, it created a separate corporate government for the District of Columbia. This treasonous act allowed the District of Columbia to operate as a corporation outside the original Constitution of the United States and outside of the best interests of American citizens, Corporation of the United States. Like Canada and Australia, whose leaders are prime ministers of the Queen and whose land is called Crown Land, the United States is just another Crown colony. Crown colonies are controlled by the empire of three city-states. At the center of each city-state is a towering, phallic-shaped stone monument called an obelisk that points skyward. In D.C. city-states, the obelisk, known as the Washington Monument, was dedicated to Freemason George Washington by the Freemason Grand Lodge of the District of Columbia. The secretive Brotherhood of Freemasons laid the Washington Obelisk cornerstone in 1848 and contributed 22 Masonic memorial stones. 250 Masonic lodges financed the Washington Monument Obelisk, including the Knights Templar Masonic Order. At the heart of London city-state is a 187-ton, 69-foot-tall Egyptian obelisk called Cleopatra's Needle. It was transported from Egypt and erected on the banks of the River Thames. In Vatican City, another Egyptian obelisk towers high above St. Peter's Square.
And then the third, outside of the obelisk, that the third Egyptian obelisk is in New York. So we have the obelisk in Washington, D.C., and the third Egyptian obelisk in New York. Now, these are only fairly consequential. The more important issue is that Washington, D.C., the Vatican, and the Crown, or the City of London, rules the world. These three cities, they rule America, they rule Europe, they rule China, they rule Africa. Wherever you see people, they are ruled by these three cities. Now, the Bible tells us that the time is coming that the Antichrist is going to come out of a geopolitical system that is put together to rule the world. It also tells us that there is a false prophet that is going to arise from some significant source. And we've come to understand that that false prophet is the Pope of the Catholic Church. All of these issues are working together quite handsomely at this time to culminate their evil project, which has been in operation since 1776, to rule the nations of the world. We're right at the precipice of this coming to pass. Now, I showed you this spot about President Kennedy because I wanted you to know that when he was president, he made a speech to alert the whole nation of the serious moment we were in history, clear back in 1960. He didn't use veiled language. He was very clear on his approach. He is or was the president of the United States at that time. It should have pricked every ear, every adult listening to his words should have become extremely concerned and begun to do a research to find out just exactly what he was talking about. It's amazing that today conspiracy theorists don't want to call themselves conspiracy theorists. Yet in those days, in that day, he himself called it a conspiracy. He warned America, and he warned America that we were on the precipice of destruction by those who were ruling in secret. Because he warned America, and because he meant it, and set out to get rid of the Federal Reserve from this nation, and to put to an end the workings of the CIA, he was killed. These are two strong arms of the Illuminati and the New World Order. President Kennedy was an honorable man, an honorable president, let's put it like that, is gone, and the Federal Reserve remains. Now, does everyone here understand why the Federal Reserve is not good news? Raise your hand if you do not understand it. That's good. Because they control the money of America. Rothschild himself, who is the head of the Federal Reserve, or every central bank around the world, himself said, made a comment, something to the nature, give me the power over the nation's money, and I care not who makes its laws. He knows that if they can control the nation's money, they control the nation. For instance, our Constitution gave Congress the right to print money. Are you all listening? Our Constitution did not give the Federal Reserve the right to print money. The Federal Reserve prints our money and then loans it to us. Now, doesn't this make you think, why is a private institution? It is not a federal institution. It is a private institution owned by what one man calls banksters. the elite, many elite families, such as the four that were mentioned on this clip. The Federal Reserve is a private bank that prints money for America, for the American government. The American government borrows it at interest, and that's what our taxes pay, is the interest on that loan. If our money system were being run the way our Constitution dictates it to run, we wouldn't be borrowing money. We would be printing our own money, and no interest would be charged. So America is trillions of dollars in debt. You all know the figures. We're trillions of dollars in debt, and we don't need to be. We don't need to be $1 in debt, let alone trillions of dollars in debt. But because we have a Federal Reserve, or what you might call a central bank in America, as long as it is here, we will get our money not from our gold reserve, but from who? At interest, as is the case of all but six nations in the world. By this means, the Illuminati keeps America in the grip of the New World Order. President Kennedy determined to stop the printing of money through the Federal Reserve. He had commanded them to stop printing, and he started printing our own money at the agreement of Congress. He was killed. This is how serious these people are to keep our nation in bondage to them. If they can keep the central bank here, they will continue to own America, and there's not anything that the public can do about it. How many of you like the way the nation has been going? Does it offend you to know that the Illuminati is the one that is determining our present plight? None of this has happened by accident. Everything that has happened, including the failure of 2008, was all pre-planned by the elite, by the Illuminati. None of it was by accident. The bubble that we created was also pre-planned. Everything that you put on your plate from the time you get up in the morning until the time you go to bed at night has been pre-planned for you by the Illuminati. You say, how can that be? How can just a group of men, a group of families, have so much power? Well, they have power because they have power over our money. They decide how prosperous America is going to be, and they decide the next crash. They decide what laws are going to be passed, because if the laws they want passed do not get passed, people just disappear. This is true. How many of you already know that? I don't need to say it. They determine everything that's going to happen. You might say, well, God runs the nation. God controls the destinies of nations. That's what the Bible says. But God will let evil men prosper to teach the righteous to stand up. And this is where the church has made its mistake. Evil men are prospering because the church is not standing up. The church is not doing what it needs to do. We're going to talk about the Illuminati just a little bit longer. May I? Okay, please put up the PowerPoint of the businesses, corporations, that kind of stuff. Oh, well, that isn't where I was going to go, but we'll go there anyway. It doesn't really matter. The Lord gave me a vision several years ago. And he said to me, the universities of America are Illuminati. He did not say the universities are headed into the Illuminati. He said, he gave me a vision of the universities, and he said, the universities of America are Illuminati now, presently. Continue. The government. The second vision he showed me, the government is Illuminati. The government is not being controlled by the Illuminati. It isn't pointing in the direction of the Illuminati. The government is Illuminati presently. Next. The justice system is Illuminati. This is why we get so discouraged over laws that are passed, bills that are passed, and decisions that come out of our Supreme Court. It is presently. It is not looking in this direction. It is presently Illuminati. Next. Well, that's part of our government. Illuminati. Bank of International Settlements. Illuminati. Have you heard of the Bank of International Settlements? When they finish doing everything that they plan on doing to dismantle all nations, are you listening? To dismantle all nations, there will be one bank that will serve the whole world. This is it. This is Illuminati, Bank of International Settlements. Continue. This bank presently is, you might say, an underling of the Bank of International Settlements. It's the World Bank. We have it here in Washington, D.C. And it is Illuminati. The thing that is so amazing is that there are many good people that work for Bank of International Settlements. Many good people, Christian people, that work for the World Bank. When we held one of our GOEs in Nigeria, one of the women that was most faithful in her attendance was a very high-ranking government official in Nigeria. And she, shortly after that meeting, she was hired by the World Bank. And she does not know how evil it is. There are good Christian women that work for these, men and women that work for these organizations, yet they are as evil as they can be. I can remember when God made a way for us to be able to go inside the World Bank and go inside the IMF so that he could talk to us. So we went inside, and it was as though I was sitting by the very heart so that I could hear. Do you remember that, Danny? So I could hear the beat of the heart of the World Bank. I could feel how the blood was pumping through the veins of the World Bank. Now let me clarify this for a moment. When I say I could hear the heartbeat, it was like sitting next to a man and being able to hear his heartbeat. But with every beat were thoughts that ruled his life. And that's what it was like. I could hear the heartbeat and the thoughts. I could hear the very government of the World Bank and how evil it was. Danny was with us. Sally also, his wife, could hear the thoughts and the determinations and the plans. We had a third person with us that also God was speaking to, also could hear. So that we came out with pages of information of what the World Bank was presently engaged with and what they were going to do in the future to take over the world. Then we went into the IMF, and God did the same thing for us. We went into the middle of the heart, and we listened. These organizations are as evil as they can be. They give the picture of being banks that want to bless the nations, that want to help the nations. Every time, listen to this, every time you see a nation being dismantled, whether it is Yugoslavia, whether it is Great Britain, or whether it is America, every time you see a nation being dismantled, the World Bank and the IMF are right in the middle of that dismantling. They loan money not to help, but to destroy the nations. The money that has been, remember in 2008, when America was crashing all around us because of the financial bubble? Do you remember President Bush had a special program when he brought out, I don't know how many men, a dozen, maybe 18, I don't know how many men were in this press conference, there was a group of men that were brought out to stand behind President Bush to help in this press conference. And where did he say these men were from? The World Bank. And he said, they are here to save America. Do you remember that meeting? How many of you remember it? They are here to save America, which tells us they were loaning America lots of money we'll never be able to afford to repay. And that's part of the dismantling process. Our wonderful World Bank, our wonderful Bank of International Settlements, next, and our wonderful IMF, International Monetary Fund. It is all Illuminati. It is not supporting the Illuminati. It is the Illuminati. They control the money of the world through these banks. Then the bank in country is the central bank, or in our case, the Federal Reserve. Now, if they take away from you the right to grow food, where are you going to get your food? Well, do you know that laws have been passed that make it illegal to grow your own food? Those laws were passed many years ago. So if the government wanted to enforce those laws, they could drive up and down the subdivisions and see who's growing food and either fine you or put you in jail because you're growing your own food. You need to have food for your family. How are you going to get it if these banks control your money? How are you going to provide food for your family if you cannot grow it and the banks will not let you have money? Think about it. Might you have to have a special credit card? The same kind of credit card everyone else has all over the world? A credit card that has all of your information on it so that you know, or a bank card, a debit card? What if that's not efficient enough? I guess the only other possibility would be a chip in your hand or in your forehead. And of course, I'm sure everyone in this room knows that that chip has already been created so that you can have access to your money when they want you to. If they don't like you and you have somehow displeased them, they just cut off your money by shutting it down in your chip. The wonderful BIS, IMF, World Bank, and the Federal Reserve. Remember this, please. The clip talked about three cities. Do you remember what three cities there were? Danny, do you remember when we were in Atlanta? We met as a team in that house by the lake. And the Lord spoke to me in a vision, a very profound vision, about something that happened between America and Europe in 1982. America and England in 1982. And in 1982, as you saw, I mean, we had people on computers for hours trying to find this information on the internet. And what it turns out is exactly what we saw in this clip. Washington, D.C., at that time, was made an international city. It is no longer a city that is on American property. I suppose you can still call it a city, but it is a corporation. It is a city-state, one of the three major city-states. This happened in 1982. And the Lord let me know that this was extremely dangerous. At the time that we were meeting together and the Lord revealed this, it was the 25th anniversary of what you just saw on this clip. So here we are, Washington, D.C. no longer belongs to America. It is part of, here we go, it is part of the Tri-City governmental head of the Illuminati. Think about this. The Spirit of the Lord is all over my heart. I want you to think about this. It is no longer an American city. It is no longer a city that is set up for the safety and the welfare of the people, for the people, by the people. No more. It belongs to the Illuminati. It is now part of a corporate structure that is owned by the Illuminati. This happened in 1982, in my lifetime and in yours. Please put up that PowerPoint stuff that Fred sent me. So here we have some of the organizations and treaties. We're showing this on the internet as well as here, so I'll just take a moment and let you read it. You see the IMF and the World Bank came out of the Bretton Woods. NAFTA treaty, GATT was replaced with the World Trade Organization, also very evil. Executive orders, they are giving away our sovereignty, our land, and the ability for other countries to come in and buy our utilities. The 10 regions of the world devised by the Club of Rome. I want to talk to you about that more in a moment. Okay, next. National training laboratories for brainwashing. National Education Association. University of Pennsylvania Wharton School of Finance and Commerce. A leading brain trust of Tavistock, dealing with behavioral research. They work with all the committee of 300 companies or affiliates. And you all know what that is, right? Raise your hands so we don't have to talk about that. Institute for Social Research, Institute for the Future, forecast socioeconomic trends based on Tavistock methodology. They decide what is normal and what is not. Prepare positions, papers to steer the government in the right direction to head off groups that are more conservative or constitutional based. Institute for Policy Studies. They shape policy in the United States since founded by Warburg, remember the picture? Warburg Rothschild, bolstered by Bertrand Russell and the Fabian Socialist. Most of funding came from James Warburg family. This foundation, the Stern Foundation, the Samuel Rubin Foundation, who are incidentally registered communist, other funding from Carnegie Foundation, objectives from the British Roundtable and Tavistock Institutes, engender strife, unrest, spread, any of this sound familiar? Strife, unrest, spread chaos, push ideals of left-wing nihilistic socialism, support unrestricted use of drugs. Isn't that exciting? Doesn't it sound like a world you want to live in? Stanford Research Institute, key under Tavistock, founded in 1946, emphasis on mind control research and future. Why do they have so many searching out mind control? How to control the minds of people. Have you wondered? Does it make you want to put on a special cap that says stay out? Under the SRI was the Charles F. Kettering Foundation. They are plugged into 350 smaller think tanks. Their computers are linked with 2,500 sister research consoles, which include CIA, Bell Telephone, AT&T, Army Intelligence, Office of the Naval Intelligence. Well, anyway, is there any more? Massachusetts Institute of Technologies, the Institute for Defense Analysis, Economic Studies on Global Scale, with top scientists working with CIA, FBI, NSA, ONI, and others. They modify the weather using ELF, radio waves, also have a Jason division, which facilitates like M16. It's MI6, it's not M16? Okay. Because you were kind of, he could probably come up and tell us about it. Okay, RANS Research and Development Corporation. Boy, go on the internet and see what they have to say about the RAND Corporation. the think tank closest to Tavistock, and the I think it's RIIA, most prestigious vehicle for control of U.S. policies. And this is so true, even in President Bush, Reagan's days. Rand created our present military. And they made so many decisions. You know, they do their think tank stuff, and then they send it to the president, and the president enacts it. Much of what happens in CFR. Much of what happens in CFR first happens at the Rand Research Center. And what happens in the United Nations, the Lord showed this to me in a vision, happens first at the CFR. Nothing happens at the United Nations that isn't decided upon at the CFR. So if the CFR enacts the Rand's decisions, what does that tell you? It's Illuminati, all of it. These are all, I'm not going to name them all, but these are all organizations, just take a look at it, hopefully you can read it clearly, that are under the control of the Illuminati, the Committee of 300. You just see some of the different organizations that are under control of the Committee of 300, which is all... This is a very, very small list. This is not comprehensive at all. A very small list of what is controlled by the Illuminati. All of your petrol, you've got the Murdoch Enterprises, Fox News, Warner Brothers, the Mellon Institution. Mellon is one of the Illuminati families. Shell Oil is Illuminati. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There is no petrol that is not Illuminati. RCA, you guys remember RCA. Isn't that the with the little dog sitting next to the... It sounds so innocent, huh? Well, I don't want to stay here. The Trilateral Commission, the Princeton, your university's National Council, like she said, of churches, the Bilderberg Group, the British East India Company,